There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more.
So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
To Infinity War and beyond.
Welcome back to the Infinity Warm-Up, Chapter 3, as we talk this week about Iron Man 2, the next chapter in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Last week we left off with The Incredible Hulk, which followed the adventures, well, sorry, the one solo adventure of Edward Norton as The Incredible Hulk, where that last film left off. Oh, he was just running around in Canada, I think, at that point. At the end of the movie, and Tony Stark talks about putting a team together. And here we are to the next phase, depending on how you want to look at it, with Iron Man 2. And for this week's chapter, we have back our Marvel Cinematic veteran, if you will, at this point, Daniel Collins, and newcomer Megan Williams. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. Now, both of you... Oh, this was not your first time seeing Iron Man 2. It was yours,
yeah.
I think. So, what did you think about Iron Man 2?
I mean, I liked it. The villain was a bit odd. Like, his, like, the ways that he, like, his, like, the lassos. I don't really understand why, when he was in the suit at the end, he had to the lassos. It was like, okay, you have a big suit that can do things, but you still need the lassos, like.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Go well, for it, dude.
To be fair, he also needed toothpicks.
It's true.
And a bird.
It's true.
Yeah.
A book.
Abort.
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 Abort. Abort. Poor guy.
Yeah, that is fair. Whiplash is a very strange villain.
Is that a name?
His name. That's yeah, they never say it, but
no!
that is his name, oh my God, is Whiplash.
No.
They just refer to him as Vanko the whole time, but that in the comics, his name is Whiplash.
Good to know.
Whoosh!
That makes me really sad that his name is Whiplash now. That's depressing. Wow.
He was an Academy Award nominee when this movie came out. And
ooh.
Yeah. Not for this movie,
okay,
I should
good.
Say.
Okay.
No, not for this movie.
Can you imagine the Academy Awards? And now.
He just uses his electric jump ropes as he flips them around on screen. Daniel, what did you think of Iron Man 2?
I liked it. I think I liked it a bit more than the first Iron Man. it was weird. I wasn't a big fan of the villain. He just, you know, whipped around some electricity.
Pew pew!
You know, if you've seen Sharkboy and Lava Girl, well, basically the same guy. But yeah, I don't know. I like this movie. It introduces my favorite Marvel character, Black Widow. So I kind of, you know... always have liked this movie.
Okay, if you took Black Widow out of this movie, would it be better than the original Iron Man?
No, it would have been better than Hulk.
This man hates Hulk.
His comment was that it was not incredible. The Incredible Hulk was not incredible. Okay, all right. So what is it about the film that you guys liked? We've agreed that the villain is terrible.
Yeah.
He's awful in every way. He's awful.
I mean, it was funny at some parts. I mean, some of the things that he said were just funny. I don't know what I liked. I'm not, like, picky with movies at all. Like, there has to be something really bad about a movie. Like
a jump rope skipping villain. Ironically, that works.
It does.
For this particular film.
Oh my gosh!
Jump rope for electric heart. That's this film.
Yeah, I like the whole idea of the heart thing. I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing that the original had like was not that is kind of confusing, but. Like, in the comics, it goes, not that.
Yeah, this is the closest they ever got to Demon in a Bottle, which is the most famous Iron Man storyline. where he's really doing his battle with alcoholism. Yeah. I can't remember whether this film came out before or after Disney bought them, but the contract with Disney didn't kick off until after Avengers. I know that. But I also think that Marvel got scared introducing an alcoholic superhero.
Yeah.
And so they invented this other story of poisoned blood man versus toothpick guy, I believe you referred to him as. Yeah, this is my least favorite least favorite Marvel movie, personally. I can't get on board. I know. Daniel, I'm sorry. I know you're a Black Widow fan.
Well, I mean, the movie's called Iron Man. It's not called Black Widow, so.
Yeah, and that's what people have been asking for, actually, is a Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
But see, this was actually, ironically, you're not going to like me saying this, that was one of my big problems with this movie.
Black Widow?
Yeah, because it was, at this point, I felt like they were trying to force the Avengers on us. Because the first movie's just about Iron Man. The second movie's about the Incredible Hulk. Then Thor is just about Thor. Captain America is pretty much just about Captain America. This is the one before the Avengers that is like throwing all this Avengers stuff at you, right? Like, oh, let's get Black Widow in there. And now he's part of... Will he be on the Avengers? Will he not be on the Avengers? Oh, we have this bad guy, but they don't want him on the Avengers. Nick Fury's in it more. It's all this thing. It's sort of like, you know, they're trying to steer the ship towards something for more people. And that's one of the things that really bugged me. That's why I like Iron Man, because even though, you know, they sort of introduce the Avengers, it's just an Iron Man movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was Iron Man too much in this one, I thought. That was not too much Iron Man. I said, thank you. That was funny. So, like, Black Widow, like, I have no problem with Black Widow, although I do stand by the fact that she really...
Like, she has two badass scenes, and that's about it. Like, she kicks Iron Man's butt for, like, 2 seconds, and she kicks the rest of the guys and sprays mace in someone's eye, and then it's like, okay, bye.
Yeah, like, she's not Black Widow in this. She walks around in her pretty dresses for 90% of the movie, which is fine. It's fine, but it's, like, it just didn't feel like there was much of a point, and I know the bigger point was looking down the line to the Avengers, and that's fine.
I feel like they did try to, like, kind of force the whole Avengers thing. They didn't really kind of take it, like, subtly. It was just kind of like, it's here now.
And yeah. It. That's it. That's exactly it. That's how I felt. That's how I felt when the movie came out, and watching it again, I still feel that way. Like, it's just sort of like, oh, right. This is the movie that had to be there so that they could introduce more people and try and make this a bigger
franchise,
right?
It worked.
It seems to have worked out pretty well for them, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And the villains are just embarrassing in this. And Justin Hammer, like, I get what they're trying to do is make, like, a bad Tony Stark in some ways, right? Like, because he's the billionaire who makes the military contracts and all that stuff. But, oh, man, it just doesn't work for me in this. There's nothing.
That was another one that ignored me. That guy. Very annoying.
Justin Hammer?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was very annoying throughout the entire movie. Everything he said, everything that came out of his mouth, I was just like, no. No, just be quiet. Like, half the things they said, I just didn't understand. It's just like, okay. Like, he just seemed annoying.
You mean like when he says, take his pillow, take his bird? There, I just took your stuff.
Take his shoes.
How do you like, feel?
Why?
You don't like it? Oh, well, how do you think I feel?
Like, he's trying to make him feel bad for himself. It's like, it's not working.
Oh, there's so many things that are frustrating about this movie.
Yeah, he was bad. I mean,
yeah, so I mean, that just, like I said, there just isn't a lot for me that works in this movie. I do like the whole introduction more focusing on the relationship with his dad. I do like that. That is interesting to me. Because it's sort of like, you get a little bit more of the mindset of how Tony comes about, right? How he's developed. And the idea of watching these videos of his dad, and I dig the whole Walt Disney thing and all that stuff, you know. I think that maybe they had been bought by Disney, but the thing hadn't started yet at that point. I'm not entirely sure, because that may have been a throwdown to that in that sense, but I don't know. Yeah, this is where me being old shows up in the podcast.
It did look very similar, though. Like, when you see old videos of Walt Disney, it did look very similar. The layout, the music, like, the suit.
Yeah, even the way he's got his mustache trimmed.
It's true.
It's, when they show clips of Tony's dad in other movies, he's got, like, white hair and more of a mustache. Now, they just show him older, but there they show him, like, really young. And it looks like the Epcot Center in production. That's mm-hmm. what, you know, from Wonderful World of Disney and all that stuff. Well, let me ask you guys this. Here's a question for you. In the film, it's repeated a lot that it's not about you. So what do you guys think that has to do with this particular film? What are they trying to say?
I think, you know, right off the bat, first thing that kind of jumped in my mind was, like, it's not, you know, you can't do everything by yourself. Like, you need to have, you know, kind of people alongside you to help you and to guide you through whatever you're doing. So I think, you know, just being able to, like, work as a team is kind of what they're trying to say.
So how does the film show that? What do you mean by that?
By the end, you see Tony and Rhodey, like, working together to fight Whiplash instead of just, you know, Tony trying to do it by himself. You also see, like, you know, Black Widow's now working with Tony. Mm-hmm. She goes in and is, like, hacking the suit to make Rhodey not kill Tony. Like, by the end of it, it just seems like they're starting to work more as a team.
Yeah.
Instead of it's just, like, you know, Tony being the ginormous narcissist he is, like, trying to do everything himself so that he gets all the glory.
Mm.
I think he is a big narcissist, I think. Tony Stark,
He admitted it in the film.
He admitted it. I mean, I think especially with his relationship with Pepper, I think he was like, she said, you didn't tell me you were dying? Oh, I didn't want you, you know? like he's just thinking about his own thing when Pepper really does care about him secretly. And, like, she does really care for him, and Iron Man's just like, I was dying, it's all good, I'm good now. It's like, no! You tell me when you're dying, don't just think about yourself. Like, he is very narcissistic, but, I mean, he admits it, so that's a first step.
His narcissism in this one is a little different in some ways than the first one, but, you know...
Was he as narcissistic in the first one?
Yes, I think that in the first one he was, but it changes. It changes in the first one from I don't care about anything but me to I care about doing good things. Like that changes because in the first one he's selling weapons and he doesn't care. He doesn't care who gets them because he's just one of the good guys, right? It doesn't matter. I'm just making money off the war. That changes to I want to try and help people with my stuff. You know, somebody has to do something to stop these bad guys, if you will. This one's a little different in a lot of ways because I think his narcissism is more... I don't know. How would you say it's different? Do you see a difference?
In the first one, like, within, like, the first half when he seemed, like, a lot more narcissistic, he was more just kind of, like, a douche, kind of more like a show-off.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, I'm a millionaire, I have all this money, like, pay attention to me. In this one, he seems more just kind of, like, stuck up. Like, he knows that he has everything, but he's not as, like, kind of showy about it. Like, he's not really bragging about it as much.
When he sits in front of the Supreme Court, he sort of has that attitude. He's very cocky. That's sort of what made him lovable, I think, in a lot of ways, is his cockiness. It's funny, when he first shows up in the movie, he goes, I bet you missed me. And there's been 2 years since the first Iron Man, and everybody wanted more Robert Downey Jr. The time is, we need more Robert Downey. The guy's amazing. We want more. So I think that line was sort of like, yeah, well, here I am. I'm back, baby. Like, this more. But I feel like this particular one, his narcissism, how do I describe it? Like, it's not that it's just about me, I want to do good things. I think it's that I'm the only one that can.
Yeah.
You know, the Stark Expo, they refer to that as a giant ego trip. You know, that's all about him. They sort of have the Iron Man dancers going on and all that stuff. And, you know, Pepper says this is just all about your ego because he says it's for the greater good for everybody. But really, it's about getting the mighty name of Stark out into the world more so than that. You know, he's Iron Man. He's achieved this high level of perfection. But this, see, that's one of the things I like about this movie. One of the few things I like about this movie is even though they don't have the alcoholic storyline, is this movie really shows how weak he is. You know, we talked about the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
We talked about Man and Monster. That's almost happening here.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy who has everything and believes he can do anything, and yet he can't, literally being poisoned by the thing that's keeping him alive. Mm-hmm. There's something about his heart that is faulty. Even though he has changed, there's still something, like, weak about him. And, you know, right now, still the villains, I mean, they ultimately got aliens attacking the entire planet. Or rather, only New York. I think New York only, yeah.
It's always New York.
It's always New York.
It's never anywhere
else. There's Sokovia. Oh, no, that's just a computer. Sokovia has nothing to do with aliens.
Sometimes Washington.
Yeah, L.A. a lot.
I was gonna say L.A.
It's L.A., New York, and, like, Washington.
See, I feel like you would really want to reconsider moving to any of those places because the aliens always seem to go for them. And what do they say in this movie? Like, we can't walk around with our doors unlocked
like they do in
Canada. There you go. Shout out to the homeland.
I mean, we don't leave our doors unlocked, but, I mean, you know.
I don't know.
It's a nice tribute, kind of.
Actually, people used to.
Do they?
People, yeah, in, like, places like Alberta, like, they would just leave their doors unlocked because they knew nobody was going to be, like, going in and taking their things or...
It's true.
Not in Scarborough.
It's true. No, not in Scarborough.
No.
But in this particular movie, one of the things I like is how weak he is.
Yeah.
Because it shows that there's a fault to...
Like a superhero? Like they're not all, like...
Yeah.
Strong and super and like, perfect.
Yeah, he's far from it.
They have their faults.
Yeah, he's far from super. Batman, I think there's a comparison between Iron Man and Batman. There's a number of them. And that's one of them, because Batman's kind of the same way. He's got this sort of inner issue that drives him and keeps him broken. This one really showcases Tony's brokenness, and that's why I think the alcoholism would have been so much more interesting than a poisoned computer chip. But, you know, when you say it's not about you, we see why now. We see it can't be all about him, because he too has faults. It's indicative of us, and I think this does go back to what I was talking about last week. I think it was last week when I said that, you know, Paul talks about when I'm weak, then I'm strong, is because in scripture, when Paul talks about how he is weak, he knows he needs the Spirit of God to make give him strength. But in this one, you're right, there's a bit of a sense of community. By the end of the film, he started to play nice with others a little bit because he can't do it all on himself. Even the fact, like you said, that he and Rhodey are, you know,
buddy bud buds.
Well, yeah, they're buddy bud buds the whole time, but now they're both wearing the same suit and they're fighting the same guy, and, you know, they're nuclear high five at the end of the movie. It's
too.
I can give a high fives.
Yeah, I would not give this film a nuclear high five, but
maybe an atomic high five.
That's right, not a nuclear high five, an atomic high five. That's right. So, in the end, Iron Man 2. Good chapter, bad chapter. Turn the page or read it again. I don't know.
I would say good enough chapter, better than the last chapter.
Good chapter, really bad villains.
You know what? That happens in a lot of Marvel movies, Dara. You'll see that a lot more as we go back through them all.
Darn it.
Yeah, to me, it's just forgettable. It's one of those movies. Like, when we were watching it, what did we say? Oh, I forgot that happened. Oh, I forgot that happened. And I think it's just because it's a bad movie. Love you, Tony. I'm glad there was Iron Man 3, and I know a lot of, we'll get there, but oh, man.
Is Iron Man 3 better?
Depends who you talk to. I loved Iron Man 3, but I'm in the minority. I learned
weird.
It's very different.
Very weird, like, yeah.
And you know what? We should say this before we sign off. this Tony would have a very interesting conversation with Tony in Civil War.
Yes.
So, cause, yes.
I watched that.
Yeah, Civil War. Who's the guy saying we need to come under military control? We need to be...
That's him.
You know, yeah. It's him saying, yeah, we need to be monitored. We need checks and balances. It's because of stuff like this that really change him. That's why I like going back to the beginning, because you can see how he changes.
Yeah.
This is it's a huge shift to later Tony, you know, in the last couple of appearances. I like him showing up in the movies now. I just like him sort of being there, but always very, very different character.
He was good in Spider-Man.
He was good in Spider-Man, yeah. But that's not for another, like, 20 chapters, so we're not there yet.
It's true. It's true.
So we will be back next week with the mighty Thor, the introduction of magic.
Yes.
It is the first time magic comes into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There's no magic before this. It's all science.
But is this like magical?
His hammer,
it's more like
does things.
It's not really magic. It's like celestial.
It's like celestial magic.
We'll
have that discussion.
Yes.
We'll have that discussion.
Celestial magic.
Remember that for next week. Thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you.
And as we move forward, let us go to Infinity War and beyond.